welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode number 462, I'm welcoming to the show, Mike Lynn Smith, otherwise known as The Nester.
Do you know what the real skill of decorating is? It's when you one day decide to work on a room and you get some of your old stuff in there and you get to buy something new and a couple things from Target that you like and you put it all in and you're like, oh, it doesn't look good. Now what do I do? That is the skill of decorating. What do you do when it doesn't look right? Why do some things look amazing and other things look hideous? There is a reason.
Maybe like me, you struggle and you just feel like if you had more money, you could create a home you love. Or perhaps your home is not meeting your needs. You want to have that inviting home that feels peaceful and open to friends and family. Maybe you're just confused about your decorating style and you end up buying random decor that just doesn't work. Well, Mike Lynn Smith, she's the author and founder of The Nesting Place. She has a new book coming out called House Rules, and she's going to share some of those with us today. She gives me advice on how to update my kitchen since I'm not going to be renovating it anytime soon, just on a limited budget, little things you can do, and advice on throw pillows and lamps and wallpaper and buying new couches. She says that decorating takes time to really learn more about yourself and what you need for your home. And then it comes down to building confidence and making those big and small decisions that are going to lead to a home you love and is functional. And of course, she reminds us that it doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful. And one really powerful statement that Mike Lynn's going to make is not to wait to get started. Do something today to create a home you love. One that you, your family, your friends can be invited into a place of peace and rest. So let's get right to it. Here we go. Mike Lynn, finally, welcome to the Don't Mom Alone podcast.
I am so happy to be here. Thank you.
It's kind of embarrassing that your sister, I mean, I hate to say a couple times has been on the show, and I'm so sorry that this is the first.
She's more fun than me anyway.
Stop. No, I have always appreciated your good digital boundaries on your time, on your life. I think that's what makes you a great decorator is that you are good about knowing what you love and where to set boundaries. So bravo to you on that. Very, very well done.
Well, thank you.
And as a boy mom, I've always watched you from afar as you've mothered your boys. So introduce everyone real quick to your fam so they know where you are in the whole momming situation.
Oh, sure. Hi, I'm Mike Lynn Smith. I just turned 50 years old. I'll be married 29 years this year.
Stop.
We have three boys, men. Our oldest is like just turned 25. We have a 23 and a 22-year-old who's a senior in college. So our oldest two were out of the house. And then we, a year and a half ago, moved to my husband's hometown, like another, for some of my kids, it was a state away. It was like an hour and a half from our old house. And our two oldest boys quit their job, moved here, moved back home. They started a business together. So basically all of our kids live here. Now our youngest is in college right now, so he's on campus there. But we got three kids' bedrooms here. I mean, we're back in the olden days. It's wonderful.
So while you're the nester, you're not the empty nester.
I am not.
Mm-mm.
My husband says, maybe we'll never be. I don't know. But it's
maybe
it's
you're
actually
too good
fun.
At this. You're too good at creating a nice, cozy home. That's the problem. You got to be a little bit worse and then they won't come back. No, I do, though. I told you I want you to help us. And I know you have a new book, House Rules, yada, yada. People, we've linked to it in the show notes. But you have kind of deciphered these basic rules that help people because everyone has their own tastes and trends change and your home's not going to look like my home. But there are some overarching principles that could help us love the homes we have instead of wishing for other. And so, yeah, I'd love to have that conversation today because I want to like my home. We've been here 20 years. I want to love it. You know,
you deserve to like and love your home and use it.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you got? What's like, Are you going to just like hit us like 1, 2, 3? Or is there an overarching, you know, start here? I don't know.
Yes, there are overarching. And I think when it comes to loving our home, it doesn't, we don't start like, okay, well, first you need to go to the furniture store. Nope. That's like,
that's what it feels
later.
Like. Nope. It feels like I need to spend money. It feels like I need more money. And then I would like my home.
You know, I think money is wonderful. It is a resource, but most of us aren't ready for that yet, especially if we're unsure. Most of the people that I encourage on Instagram that are in my community that read my books are people that aren't confident in making decisions for their home just yet. And there's different reasons why. And we're all at different places. So I like to kind of figure out first where we are. Some people are where I call like the imperfectionist. You really are maybe struggling with circumstances that feel not ideal, not what you would choose. And therefore you do what I did for way too long. And that is you decide to wait. You're waiting for your next house. You're waiting until you can figure out your personal style and have the perfect name to name that, or waiting to have someone come boss you, like all the paint samples you have on your wall, which one should work. Or you're waiting for, you know, the next door neighbor to come over and help you pick out a sofa. So we are waiting, waiting, waiting. And a lot of times we're just waiting on our circumstances to change. But the truth is, that doesn't usually help us feel confident. I actually think the best time to start is when you have limited resources. You can take risks without risking a huge, what if you are rich? Now you have a $10,000 sofa budget. Is this the time to learn to buy a sofa? No, it's so much easier to buy a sofa when you have $100 and all day to look on Facebook Marketplace. And I have bought 3 $100 sofas in my life, and they have all been fabulous. You know, a lot of times it's not about who has the most money. It's just what you know, being confident in your decision and knowing what you need. And decorating, a lot of what it is taking the time to learn about yourself and to learn about what you need from your home. So if you're in a place where you feel like, you know what, my circumstances are stumping me, then you might be in a place where my first book, The Nesting Place, would really encourage you. Now, other people are in a place where they're faced with a room and it's kind of empty and they need to buy a sofa yesterday now and they need like instant decorating steps. I also have a community for that. I have a book for that. There are phases of decorating and there is an order. So that's the main thing we get wrong when we're actually making decisions. It's not that, I think a lot of us know what we like, just like when we go shopping. Mm-hmm. For an outfit, like we see a shirt, like I like that shirt. This shirt looks good on me. I shall buy the shirt. But it's especially when we're buying stuff for our house, you want to choose the items in the right order because your seating informs where your rug should be and how big it should be. So things like that. So that's the overall thing I would say.
I mean, confidence, 100%. Like if we're doing the translation to personal wardrobe and like making those decisions, I have felt like I missed some class. I grew up in Indiana and everyone in Dallas knows how to dress all the time and I missed the class. So I went to House of Color. They told me my colors. This was like 3 or 4 years ago. And it was just so clarifying. Like, okay, oh, there's warm and there's cool. I had no idea. Like just design theory and the knowledge gave me confidence. So then when I see something come across my Instagram, I can be like, well, that's not for me. Mm-hmm. It's a blue based. I'm yellow based. It's not bright. And I can just immediately filter out. I don't have that confidence in the decorating of my home. Like I don't know. Even someone's come in and I have a sectional. They're like, that table doesn't quite fit. And I'm like, I don't know what table would fit. Like, what are the rules on that?
Oh, well, I can tell you the rules. And here's what you did right with your clothes. You found a mentor. You found a mindset. And you decided to believe the truth that no one is born with the how to dress gene and no one is born with the decorating gene. You know what? We all have to learn. And I can relate to that, even though I feel like, oh, I kind of figured out how to make decent decisions in my home. But when I was in elementary school, way back then, I basically flunked spelling because I thought that spelling tests on Friday were a quiz on what you knew, and you either knew it or you didn't. And this girl didn't know it. It wasn't until a teacher came to me and explained, no, honey, you're supposed to actually study these. Like, and here's some tips. I before E, except after C. Doesn't matter if you're writing an Instagram post or a Facebook post or a letter to your friend or an obituary, it will always apply. Here are some tools to help you become a better speller. You practice, you learn, you have mentors. It is the exact same way with decorating. There is no such thing as a decorating gene, but there are some of us who have decided to take little risks and practice earlier on, so we feel a little bit ahead of the game maybe, but it's never too late to learn. You just need a mentor. And there are rules, just like I before E, except after C. See how that's like a freeing rule? Like, again, it applies to all different words. There are house rules that are universal decorating truths. So it applies to everyone's style, no matter the budget. They're just kind of general rules. And sometimes we even break the rules. And that's actually fun, but it can feel overwhelming. I get it.
I'm just thinking about poor Michaelyn with the name that you have, learning to spell that as you're trying to learn to spell. It's just cruel.
Don't you think it's related? I feel like it might be related.
It's related. Okay, so what are these rules? I know we're going to buy the book, but give us a few nuggets, okay?
Just so well, we can. How about, to be really ridiculous, the very first rule is learn the rules so that you can break them beautifully. This is a rule book from a girl who don't like rules, but here's the thing. I believe that we should make really risky decisions in our home because we are confident to know that the room's going to look better, not because we don't know better. I want you to choose to buy a table that maybe isn't the right scale because you love that table or because it was handed down or because you're like, that table is the best, not because you have no idea what table should be right. So the goal is ultimately to break rules with confidence, but you can't break a rule before you understand why. And so overall, really, I wrote this book because I feel like sometimes we think we think the goal in decorating is like, one day I'm going to go in a room and then I'm going to buy everything for it and put it in and it'll look great, just like they do on TV. That never happens. Do you know what the real skill of decorating is? It's when you one day decide to work on a room and you get some of your old stuff in there and you get to buy something new and a couple things from Target that you like and you put it all in. You're like, oh, it doesn't look good. Now what do I do? That is the skill of decorating. What do you do when it doesn't look right? Why do some things look amazing and other things look hideous? There is a reason. And I can tell you all the reasons why in house rules and with all of these little rules that are like memorable and easy. For example, contrast is queen if you want to be seen. So let's think about it. For anyone watching this video, they can see behind you, you have you've got dark hair and you've got this white wall with a dark frame with different colored art behind you. And so I can see that frame pop. Now, if you had a dark wall, we would not see that frame. We would not see if the art was dark. We wouldn't see that. So behind me, like I have black pillows and I have dark hair. So it's kind of hard to see where my hair ends and where the pillows start.
But I'm thinking about how I love this chair because it was passed down to me from my dad's office. But if I painted this
wall treatment. Wood. Let's call it a wall treatment.
The wood. If I painted the wood a lighter color, the chair would pop. Right now, they're kind of blended.
It's true.
You know what I'm saying?
But it might.
I'm just like to give an example of how it's not working. But if I love the chair and I'm confident in the chair, that could be a way to make it work.
Exactly. So if you were looking at that room and you're like, huh, I love my chair, but it doesn't look right in here. One way you could troubleshoot that is say, oh, well, contrast is queen if you want to be seen. It doesn't mean we always have contrast. Maybe you have a dresser and you don't really love it. So you paint it the same color of the wall that it's on. And now you don't really, it kind of disappears. So we can use these house rules to help us kind of troubleshoot and figure out how to make things in our house look to our liking.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I need more of that. It's the time of year where there's so much on my to-do list. And, you know, as moms, one thing I've noticed I need to give permission to y'all to focus on, and even to myself, is our undergarment situation. And it might be time to do a little spring cleaning in our bra drawer. Support for today's episode comes from Honey Love. And let me tell you what, Honey Love has revolutionized the bra game. I have said goodbye to underwire without sacrificing lift, okay? Honey Love's bras feature supportive bonding. It eliminates the need for all that uncomfortable wire business. Plus, with technology these days, fabric is so soft and Honey Love's bras feel like second skin. You're going to immediately feel and see the difference. You might even forget you're wearing a bra. I know that's hard to believe. For a limited time only, you can get Honey Love on sale. 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/DMA. Support our show. Check them out, honeylove.com/DMA. I love their best-selling bra, which is the crossover bra. It's super comfortable. I also love, I've told you this before, it has this mesh detailing at the top that is really pretty. And if I have a lower cut top, I don't have to then add another like tank, you know, with the bra, with the shirt. It's like so many layers. The bra adds like just a little touch of pretty. And it's great. I also love that they have figured out the whole back smoothing fabric situation to prevent bra bulge. Now, if you're looking for a more relaxed lounge bra, they have a V bra. It offers the support of a traditional bra, again, without the underwire, and it lifts and separates. Okay, so it's not this shelf uniboob situation. It doesn't stop there. Honey Love has more than just bras. They have comfortable shapewear, tanks, leggings. Honey Love has got you covered, whether it's your everyday look, workouts, weddings, and more. You need honey in your life. You've earned it. Treat yourself to the best bras on the market. Save 10% off at honeylove.com/DMA. Use our exclusive link to get the 20% off. honeylove.com/DMA. After you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show. Tell them we sent you. Honeys, you deserve this. So what's another one?
Okay. Let me move on. I have them all.
I'm sure. Do you have 100 in the book?
I have 100. So, uh-huh.
So we could hit a couple and they could still buy the book.
Oh, like, we could hit. Yeah. I could talk about this all day. Okay. Another thing is combine the opposites. So that's just a way, like we think about, when we think about style, I like to say that style is found in the combination. So maybe you own a pair of Chuck Taylors and maybe I own a pair of Chuck Taylor shoes, but you pair them with boot cut jeans and an oversized masculine jacket and a cute baseball cap and a crop shirt. And so now you have your style. And maybe I pair my Chuck Taylors with a pair of joggers and an oversized coat and a sweatshirt. And so now I've created my style within these combinations. And I think that what I want to do is encourage people that just because maybe you have a sofa and it's in a specific style, remember that we're creating an entire relationship in our room. And so if you feel like maybe one thing is too masculine or too mid-century mod or too pink, you can combine it and you can balance that out by adding in the opposite. So if it's too masculine, well, maybe add something in your room that feels feminine. Get a floral pillow. You know, if it's too high contrasty, well, maybe get some muted colors and some muddiness. If it feels like everything is too glossy and you don't have textures, bring in some baskets. And so really it's the art of making things work, because none of us are starting with an empty room and nothing. We're all starting with some stuff we have and some stuff we love and a little budget and some stuff we don't really like. And so how do we make that all work together? Well, when we have some little universal decorating truths, when we have some little rules, we can start to figure out how to make things be in a happy relationship together in our room.
Okay, let's talk about kitchens.
Okay.
Kitchens. Do you have rules for kitchens? Because I feel like this is the story, Morning Glory. In Dallas, everyone's had their kitchen redone. It's super, super modern, super, super white, super, super clean.
Everyone has not had their kitchen redone. I promise
you. This is the
Everyone in Dallas has not had their kitchen redone.
This is the narrative in my head. So then mine is like still the wood, still the, you know, tile from 2000. It's the same, like older look. How do I bring life to that? You know what I mean?
Okay.
Without paying a bazillion dollars.
First of all, you have to believe that it doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful, and that you can have a beautiful home starting with what you have. If you don't believe that, and if you keep believing that every single person in Dallas has a brand new kitchen, I'm not going to be able to help you. We have to get past that. Heather.
And so, you can be my bossy big sister. I will.
So yeah. Once you get past
even though you're just slightly
that,
older than me, slightly.
And you're ready. I'm probably old enough to be your mom. Once you get past that, then the next step is for you to look on Pinterest, and I want you to find images of kitchens that whatever the main problem is, if it's wood, and let me tell you, wood is back. Wood has been back for a couple of years.
I've been waiting. Oh, like surely it's going to come back.
And let me tell you, I have dark wood in my house. Like your paneling right down there, I have built-ins. Like we're not painting it. We're not changing it.
Okay.
So what I want you to find is I want you to create a pin board of kitchens where some of the limitations are the same as yours, but they're photos of kitchens that you like. And I want you to find a plethora, like 10, 20, start pinning kitchens. And then a few days later, take some space, then look back at it and ask yourself, what is it about these kitchens that I like, that I have the liberty, I have the freedom? Because different, you know, we have, some of us have more money than others. Some of us have more time than others. Some of us, if you're renting, there's not a lot about your kitchen that you can choose to change. But even when we were renting and I did not like my kitchen, one of the things I could change was I did a temporary backsplash. We cut beadboard and I painted it and I hot glued it to the tile, and hot glue just peels off. So when we were done, we just unpeeled it. We changed the lighting. I put under cabinet lighting, and it changed just enough of the feel of the kitchen to feel like me. And I believe fully that with the kitchen you have, you can make it spectacular by just a few changes. One person I would tell you to consider looking at is, well, his Instagram is called Stage to Sell. I think his name is Jason. He is in New York City and he stages like million-dollar apartments, but he does spend money to do it. He has a whole staging service. But what he does is he's limited by, they have a time frame, so he can't go in and put all new cabinets or anything like that. He can only do like really quick changes. And it's very interesting to see him take a dated kitchen and to do some small, inexpensive changes and to make it look glamorous, like absolutely insane. And they sell for millions of dollars to rich people. And he is not redoing the kitchen. Learn from people doing the thing that you want to do in the way you want to do it. I promise you, there are amazing kitchens out there with the kind of cabinets you have, but you're going to have to figure out what you're willing to change and what you can change, and what your boss is. And it sounds, because you do have to, what I call, respect your boss. It sounds like in your kitchen, your boss is your cabinets, the wood cabinets that maybe you're not going to change
probably
right now.
Countertops, right? Like the granite. That's like too expensive to change out.
So you might be keeping your countertops and that. Or you might say, you know what? I can't ruin something I already hate, one of the house rules. And maybe I don't like my countertops. And so maybe I'll just decide to put contact paper on them. Or maybe I'll just decide to paint them. Or maybe I'll decide to do concrete over them. Maybe you'll invest a little bit because you already don't like them. So they're not going to be preserved for mankind throughout the ages. So you could decide to change them up in a really unique and fun way. In our last house, I didn't have the money to recarpet or put wood floors in the upstairs, but it had carpet that was like destroyed by a dog. So we just pulled up the carpet and painted the subfloor and lived like that for years. And because I couldn't ruin something I already hated, it was fun to get to like pick fun colors for the floor or whatever. I know you can do this.
I like, that's a good phrase. I can't ruin what I already, because I do think that's part of the confidence is like, what if I mess it up so badly, or, you know, the lack of confidence, I should say. My boys are so blessed that they have both their grandmothers in their lives still. And they've thankfully gotten to spend a lot of time with them, even if they've lived far away. And what I think that I want more of is for them to capture their stories, the journeys they've been on, whether they're funny or whether it's God's faithfulness. Just in time for Mother's Day, I have found the perfect gift that's going to capture their stories for my family forever. And it's called StoryWorth. So what StoryWorth does is it helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom or your grandmother for years to come. Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. So I've seen my favorite, and I might have shared this with you before, is my mom's first job. I never knew that she worked in a library. And my boys, you know, thinking through what that would look like now, it's so foreign to them because of how little we spend in libraries. But StoryWorth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with the story, whether it's long or short, it doesn't matter. You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they've been submitted over the course of the year, and you'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories. Maybe you knew them. Maybe it's a surprise like my mom's story was. After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles all your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come. You can even keep a copy for yourself. I love one of my friends did this for both sets, her parents and her in-laws. And she said it was super interesting to see the variety of responses on how some parents got really into it and others, you know, just kept it short and sweet, but meaningful. Families love StoryWorth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over 10 years ago. So give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/DMA. That's StoryWorth, StoryWorth.com/DMA to save $10 on your first purchase. Okay, y'all have heard me talk about my favorite Skylight digital frame. Well, let me tell you, I have the perfect thing. As a busy mom, I have absolutely adored it, and I think it's a great gift you need to ask for yourself, or I mean someone you know that's a mom. Ask any mom. Running a busy household is just chaos. It's stressful. I remember I had a whiteboard calendar that one of my sons would always ask me to fill out, make sure it's filled out so that he could go to it and he could make sure he could see our month. And now it's a digital version. Okay, y'all, the Skylight calendar is a smart touchscreen calendar. It syncs with my Google Calendar. It can organize even chores, groceries, to-do lists. Let me tell you about the chores. I added folding clothes to the chores and assigned it to each boy a different color. And so it pops up on Sunday and it says that it's one of their chores to do. And then once they do it, I click complete for them. What's funny is it actually worked. Like, I had it up on the digital calendar in the kitchen and one of my older boys was like, hey, can you please check off? I folded my clothes. And so it just, anyway, not only is it a calendar to keep everybody straight, I love that it's also helping some chores get done. Hello. It comes in two sizes, 10-inch, 15-inch. The 15-inch size is wall mountable, and you can even change event colors. You can use emojis. I love that one of my boys wanted to add the spring festival that our school has. He wanted to add it to the calendar, and he super easily was able to add it to the calendar. He was excited. And when it's not in use, you can pay for their Skylight Plus, and you can turn it into a digital picture frame. So it's kind of like a combo deal. It's 100% satisfaction guaranteed. And if you don't love the Skylight calendar, you'll receive a full refund. We offer they offer 120-day money back guarantee and free returns. It's made my kitchen, which, you know, I was telling the nester about, I don't know, it's just made it a little brighter. So you can sync your Skylight calendar with Google, Apple, Outlook. Like I said, you can add events directly. There's even an app, a Skylight calendar app. So as a special limited time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to Skylight skylightcal.com/alone, A-L-O-N-E. That's Skylight Cal. So spelled out, it's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/alone. Mother's Day is coming right up. So order today to get 15% off your purchase at skylightcal.com/alone. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
like even wallpaper, like I've always wanted to put wallpaper up in my laundry room because I thought, well, that would make me happy to be in
okay.
there, but I'm not doing it. What is happening? And part of it is like picking the wallpaper. I don't want to make a mistake. What if it's the wrong wallpaper? Help.
I understand. I think that you need to baby step your way into confidence and maybe yeah. starting with wallpaper in the laundry room is a big start. So I would ask, is there a small, tiny area where you could put up peel and stick wallpaper? That low commitment, is there one wall where you could do a feature wall in a small hallway in the back of your closet? Is there somewhere you could practice where your family doesn't have to see it, where you can, because also you have to learn how to pick out wallpaper, a skill you haven't done before. So yeah. you might put your wallpaper up and then be like, oh my gosh, I hate pattern, or I hate stripes, or I hate yellow. So you don't know what you don't know. So find a way to practice. Mm-hmm. Is there a place in your house that you could put up a little bit of wallpaper?
Yeah. And I feel like the laundry room is pretty small.
Okay.
Like there, I could just do one wall.
Okay.
I could even do the wall that like you don't see when you first, like when you look into it.
Oh, I like that.
Or I could do the one that you do see, but.
You could.
Yeah, it's very small. It's just pretty much the washer and dryer and you could turn around maybe.
Okay. Really. Have you calculated how much it would cost?
No. That's the next step, isn't
okay.
it?
Okay. I think that would be helpful too, because sometimes we put these, I call them an amateur guesstimate.
Yeah.
And so we're like, oh, that's going to be so much money. And then you find out it's going to be $73. And you're like, that, oh my gosh, I would have done that 3 years ago. So I think the next step is to find three wallpapers. And if you're going to do it yourself, maybe peel and stick that you would like. And you just say, I'm just going to see how much it would cost. And then you can decide from there if you feel ready and maybe watch a few YouTube videos on people putting up wallpaper.
Mm-hmm.
I think this that could good. Be really exciting.
I'm going to have to do a before and after and show you.
You're going to have, now we're all expecting that.
No. Do you have an opinion on wallpaper? Like, is that something? I know it comes and goes.
I have no opinion on wallpaper.
Like match
something
everything.
Like wallpaper. That is a personal style question. Mm-hmm. And if I think here, like 90% of my job, Heather, is telling people, yes, you should do that thing. You already know that you want wallpaper. So my job is to tell you, yes, will you please do that for yourself and figure out a small way? Maybe get some wallpaper in. Use it as contact paper inside of your bathroom drawer. Find a way to get a little wallpaper in your life. Maybe recover a book or a box. Like practice, get to know it, get to feel it, have it in your life so that you feel whatever it takes to just move yourself toward confidence. That's what I would do.
I love that.
I think it would be lovely.
We can have your little voice in our head saying, I think you should do that.
I think you should do that.
Is there a rule about pillows? Throw pillows?
Yes, there is.
I'm just jumping all over.
Oh, this is your show. I will jump wherever you want.
I just remember hearing from you one time that I should look for zippers.
Yes.
And to me, that was just super helpful.
Good.
So when I see a pillow and it's all sewn in, I'm like, not for me. That's not for me.
So,
especially with four boys, like I need to wash these pillows.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Pillows are not just decorative. They are functional. So we're talking about decorative throw pillows that maybe are on your sofa or on your bed. They are for our family to use. If you have ever had a pillow from Target and then your husband takes three naps on it and now it's like 2 inches and you're like, don't take naps on my pillow. No, that is not the life we want to have. We deserve pillows that can be abused and stepped on and laid on by the dog and run over with a car. And then guess what? It will fluff right back up. You have to get a pillow with the right stuffing. And that is going to be either, like I call it God stuffing. So a down or down alternative where you can smash it. you can roll it in. It might even come, if you buy it like from Amazon, it'll come in a little vacuum pack bag. It's like this big. And then it fluffs back up. You can throw it in the dryer. It'll get fluffy. That's what you want so that you can use your pillows. Then pillows are actually two parts. It's the insert. So the fluffy stuff that you want to be able to fluff back. And then the outside cover that we see, that you are exactly right. You want it to have a zipper. Why? So you can keep it forever and wash it when it gets stained. And then if it's Christmas and you want to put a Santa Claus pillow or whatever, you unzip that zipper, you fold it up, put it in your closet. It takes up like this much space. And then you put your pretty pillow cover on your pillow for a few months and you can change it out.
That's great. Is there a rule on how many?
Well, here's how I decide how many pillows. I want my pillows. I do like to have what I call anchor pillows on my sofa, like one to soften each corner. But I also don't want to feel like someone can't sit down on my sofa without moving a pillow. So the rule is to nail that scale. Meaning, think about a sofa or a bed. A lot of us have a king or a queen size bed. We have a sofa that I have a small scale sofa. It's only 80 inches, which is quite small. Most of us have a 90 to 100 inch sofa. When we use a little 12 inch pillow and put it on our sofa, we all can look at that and say, that don't look right. Now, we might not know why. But here is what we naturally do. When we pair two items in a relationship together, like a pillow and a sofa, a decorative pillow on our bed, and we know that it doesn't look right, our mind, what it says is, you need more. So then we go to Target and we buy four more pillows. But the problem is, usually we have the wrong size. So instead of thinking, I need more, 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 I want you to think, is this pillow the right size? We need to nail that scale. When you have a sofa, it's kind of a big item. It's going to look best if your anchor pillows, if you only even have just two pillows, one in each corner, you want them to be 20 to 26 inches. You see my hands? Think about that. That's like two Barbies stacked on top of each other. Two Barbies tall, two Barbies wide. That is a big pillow.
Barbies as the scale. Okay, yes. Yes. No, that's a big pillow.
Mm-hmm. But then that's adding this beautiful, whatever your style is, funky fabric, colorful fabric, textured fabric, neutral fabric, shiny fabric, I don't care. It's your own personal style. You're getting so much more bang for your buck because now it is having a visual impact in your home on the corner of your sofa and you only need two. Whereas if you get the little 12-inch ones, you suddenly feel like you need 35. So actually it's cheaper to get the bigger one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. And then like, as we're decorating, one time I heard someone say, you want things grouped in threes. And I thought, oh, I didn't know that was a rule. Is that a rule?
It actually is. It's even one of my house rules, but I did not make it up. So I call it threes, please. What it is, it really comes back from like the olden times. This is like a God ordained, you know, the think about the pyramids.
The Trinity.
Yes.
Here we go. We're talking about Jesus. There we go.
Here we are. And so when we think about the golden ratio, the perfect triangle, there is something in art, in the world that is pleasing to the eye when we see it in groups of three. I didn't make it up. It's all how nature is designed and how the creator designed it, that something feels right when it's in a group of three. So we can just take that knowledge and apply it to our home if we're styling our coffee table, a candle, a plant, and a stack of books. If we're styling a sofa, I do like having three, a big pillow in each corner, and then a little extra one, right? You know, your little fun, your 12-inch pillow that you didn't know exactly what to do with. Well, that's your little number three. So threes are naturally pleasing. Good job. Mm.
Well, and I like that you said it. In my mind, I was thinking, well, then it needs to be three candles or three plants. But you're saying like three different things, a stack of books, a plant, and a lamp. That's very different.
Yes.
Okay. And then lighting wise, like lamps, okay? Yes. Are there house rules with lights and lamps? Because I feel like a lot of my personal lighting is coming from the recessed lighting. But I don't know. I feel like that's not real warm.
It's not. So our builders okay. supplied us with overhead lighting so he could pass inspection. Thank you, builder. However, there are different types of lighting. Now, our overhead lighting, like in the hallway, is wonderful. So we can walk down the hall and see the doorways. The pendant lighting in the kitchen is wonderful task light so we don't chop our thumb off while we're cooking dinner. But in your bedroom, in your living room, in your office, where you're doing different types of tasks, you are going to really benefit and have your life changed by different types of lighting. You will want a combination of lamps with a shade because shaded light makes you look 20 years younger, fresh and rich and thin and smart and everything. Yes. So if you are a person that doesn't have lamps in your home, I encourage you, go to the thrift store today. See the magic that a lamp will do. There is nothing like walking in your home. I mean, right now we're talking and this is January. It gets dark at 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I don't want to turn on the overhead light in my family room and open my journal and write in the morning or at night. I want a cozy little reading light where I can dim it if I want. I want a layer of light over here. In my family room, I think I have 7 different types of lighting. We live in an old house, and we don't have overhead lighting in most of our rooms. Okay. So I have 3 lights with shades, some in pairs set together on a surface. I have a floor lamp with a dark shade with a gold inside, and that gets like a really warm, cozy light. I have a big fat lamp with a big chunky base. I've got a wall sconce with 2 little lights on him that I used a command hook and stuck it on a mirror. So it's like reflection. I get double light from that.
Okay.
So we have all these different lights. Some are higher end. Most I got secondhand. One I bought for $12 from the Habitat Restore. So together, they create this family of light that when you walk by my family room, we've got these little pockets of warm, inviting lighting that it almost does welcome you into the room. Come sit, come snuggle with the cat, come eat your pizza, come watch your amazing race and not be all or nothing with the overhead light. So mm-hmm. I think you will really enjoy anyone out there, if you haven't experienced the life-changing magic of lamps in your bedroom, in your office, in your living room. Oh, you're so lucky because you will love it. Do you love lamps? Do you have lamps?
I mean, eons ago, hired a decorator. She put 2 lamps in our front living room.
Okay.
And a cat broke one. And I haven't replaced it since.
Okay.
And we would hardly ever turn them on. But like, is there a rule about this lamp? Like how many? I mean, it sounds like you're kind of focusing on an area and making sure that the light is bathing an area and making sure every area is kind of bathed. Yeah.
I always start with function. So okay. In my dining room, we're not really in, we have a formal dining room, first time in years. So I have 2 lamps and an overhead light. We're not in there really much at night.
Wait, you have lamps on the dining room table?
I have lamps on my sideboard behind the dining room table. So on like the, yeah. So I have a pair of lamps and then the overhead light. I purposely got my sideboard or my buffet or whatever you want to call it, so I would have a place to put lamps because my dining room was dark. So yeah. I looked on Facebook Marketplace, $140, got a beautiful dark wood sideboard because no one likes dark wood right now. And then I had a place to put a pair of lamps that I found at an antique mall. Worked out great. Now in my family room, we are in there. My family of 4 or 5 of us, depending on who is home, we sit in there every night. We're watching the amazing race. We're eating pizza. We're snuggling with the cat. My husband and I get up in the morning. We read by the fire. We all want to be able to see while we're doing different mm-hmm. things. So mm-hmm. yes, I have lots of light in there because we use it. Same with our bedroom. When I wake up in the morning or go to bed, the last thing I do is turn off the light next to me. So I don't want to turn off the switch and then feel my way to the bed. No, no, no. I want to have beautiful.
You're describing my night.
Okay.
Yes.
You deserve a pair of lamps next to your bed. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen this new thing on Amazon that you can have a sconce. It's not actually electrically connected. It has the Bluetooth remote power light.
So I first saw that from Brooke from Nesting with Grace. She called it the magic light trick. And she started this whole phenomenon by getting a sconce on Amazon, cutting the cord, hanging it on her wall, and putting a light puck in it with batteries. And I think that's a wonderful way to do, especially if there is a place where you don't really use the light a whole lot. I'm hesitant to do that somewhere like next to my bed because you would have to change the batteries every couple of days. Now, they make wall sconces. You can buy a wall sconce that has a plug. You don't have to hire an electrician. You don't have to cut the cord. You don't have to hardwire it. So you just are going to do a Google search for a wall sconce with a cord. I have found many of those secondhand. You can buy them on Amazon. I think the cord kind of looks cool, kind of looks funky, kind of like just, I'm not ashamed of cords at all.
Okay. This is good. I'm not ashamed of cords. Okay. Our time is wrapping up, but I want you to be able to answer these questions. What are the biggest decorating mistakes you see people making?
Waiting. The biggest decorating
thing that you talked about. Okay.
Is just putting it off. And I mean, even if you find yourself doing that, ask yourself, what am I waiting on? And just kind of verbalize that. And that alone can encourage you to keep going. Because for so long, I kept waiting and waiting. And then suddenly I thought, you know what? Our next few houses are probably going to be rental houses. I know I don't have a whole lot of control here, but my kids are growing up. And I want to be in charge of what their memories look like, not whoever the landlord was.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And so is that what you would wish you could have told your 30-year-old self about?
It actually is. They are related. Yeah. Is that I wish I would have said, just do it anyway. Just do what you can with what you have. It doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful, but you can make it better.
Doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful. We love all of your phrases, all of your rules that are good, life-giving rules we can break. Thank you for being with me today. I really appreciate it. And I'm so thankful we finally made it happen. And y'all, get House Rules. You can learn like so many more things. And you can get connected with Michaeline through all of her resources. And she could be your big sister, your mentor. Thank you for helping me out.
I would love that. And if and when you decide on wallpaper or your kitchen, send me a picture.
Okay. Yeah, I just put a video of this side of my office that you can't see. And then this side that's all hushed. And it's pretty bad. You're going to be horrified. It's bad.
I'm not horrified.
I think decluttering might be my first step.
Yeah. It is a really good first step.
Yeah. Well, thank you again. Hope we get to talk soon. All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye, dear.
Okay. Thanks, y'all, for listening. I wanted to point out in the show notes, my VA, Megan, she put a link to one of Michaeline's quizzes that asks you what your decorating era is. And I took the quiz, and y'all, my era is I'm in the beauty hunting era, okay? I'm the one to notice the full moon and the sunset and the shell on the beach. It's a great skill, but I need to do it with my home, and I need to find the beauty in my imperfect home. So I thought that was really interesting. If you want to take the quiz, it's in the show notes. Also, a couple questions that Megan wrote for our Don't Mom Alone podcast clubs. One is, are you currently satisfied with your house? Does it feel like home? Can you name the top three primary functions of your home in this season? And if you could start in one room, which one would it be and why? Questions like these we send out every week to our Don't Mom Alone podcast club leaders through Facebook. You can always go to my website, heathermcfadden.com, to find links to create your own podcast club. It's like a book club, but they listen to the show on their own and they get together and discuss it. Yada, yada, yada. Okay, I am going to pray for us. Lord, I know that there are women with a variety of spaces and what the world may see as beautiful. And I know there are women with very limited spaces. And I've known women that are so hospitable with what the space they have, and I feel so welcomed. And Lord, I pray that I would have the heart of contentment, that I would see the spaces you've given me and I would steward them well. I pray for these practical ideas that you would give me creativity, give me wisdom, give me discernment to know what's for me, what's not for me. And I pray for each person listening that you would guide them in that as well, that they would dedicate their spaces to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm always thrilled to be invited into a space that is imperfect. I don't know about you. I don't know how you feel in that. But when someone's like, just come into my mess, that kind of hospitality to me is beautiful. And I think that's a little bit of what Mike Lynn is trying to communicate to us is, yes, make spaces that we love and that fulfill the purposes we have. But ultimately, let's not let the imperfections get in the way of connecting. It's through those imperfections and vulnerabilities that we find true connections. Enough. Enough. You get it. I will see you back here next week. Adios.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.